Good morning, Remnant. Hope you like that music. We do. I do anyway. But we welcome you here. It is October 6, 2024. Time is just flying by, and what a time that it is that we're in. Exciting times. It's biblical times if you take the time to read the Word and see what the Word says, and then when you look out and see what's going on, it is. It's interesting times. What a time to be here. We were made for this time. We want to make sure we understand that. We know that this is the time that we were made for here, to be able to love and honor God and to love and help our neighbor as well, and to hopefully explain the truth to them. We start out with epistle prayer. It's a type of imprecatory prayer. We always try to make sure that you are prayed up, not just to pray this, but we need to be prayed up every day. It is just as simple as that. We hope that you are. We've got the epistle prayer on a Bible bookmarker. We've expanded the Bible bookmarkers. We have more than, we've added a couple here just recently, but we do have the epistle prayer on a Bible bookmarker. We'd be glad to send it to you. Just ask. Hope you'll join us. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority, we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, Baals be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells, send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be. And thank you. Thank you for the victory. Well, Remnant, because of your continued prayers and support, the latest Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 10, Firearms and Freedom, Part 3, is in the mail. We got that in the mail this past week and got the online version completed. And Jason, I think, got that out, Friday evening maybe? And so that's out as well. So if you get it in the mail, keep an eye out for it. We do ask you to let us know when you get it so we can kind of keep track of that. And if you need an extra copy, or, you know, some people have ordered extra copies, plural, and are handing them out. And I think that's a good thing. This is the third and final part of Colonel Moore's Firearms and Freedom, a very hard-hitting, truthful, prophetic message that, it is coming true in our lifetime, has come true and continues to. And so we've had a great response to that. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's encouraging to you. And we're glad that there are more people that are ordering it and asking for it, and that it seems to be a blessing to those out there. So praise the Lord for that. Well, I want to start out in Mark this morning with a scripture, and it's the words of Jesus. They had asked him a question, and we're kind of trying to trap him, but it's not that, you know, we can't take one scripture and build a denomination around it. That's unfortunately what some people do. But this scripture here in Mark 12, it's not new, but it's just a restatement by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at it. Mark 12, verse 31 says, Jesus replied and said, "The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself." And he says, "There's no commandment greater than these." And of course, he said the first one was to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And so, you know, everything else is based on these. Everything else revolves around these. It's like this is the foundation of what we are to do. Of not what we are to believe. See, there's a difference. Not just what we believe, but what we do. We love God. We love our neighbor. And, boy, sometimes it's hard to see those things, to see those works, to see those actions. But, you know, when you have the devastation like we've had, and that's kind of what we're talking about this morning from Hurricane Helene over the last few weeks, we're able to see these things. You know, there's a saying, I don't have the exact quote, but it's like, you know, you really get to know the character of a man when it hits the fan when things are not going his way, when things are bad, when times are tough. That's when the true character comes out. See, that's how it is, I think, with our people as well. Let's take a look at a couple stories this morning that I thought were interesting. This one was a North Carolina family was, quote, the quote was, thankful to be alive after being rescued off their roof during the Helene floods. No, it wasn't, unfortunately, an Army Blackhawk that came in and rescued them. They said, we were able to be rescued by some good Samaritans that lived behind us that had some kayaks, said the Swannanoa resident John Zara. And after they were able to save my two kids, my wife, and some neighbors. And so I mention that because, especially in this trial, in this time of adversity, that stories like this are still coming out. More and more stories that, guess who performed the rescues? Guess who did the saving? Guess who was there? Oh, yeah, the hillbillies and the rednecks and those neighbors over there that you might not talk to too often. You know, you kind of think bad about them because they keep an old truck in the yard, or because they got this and they ain't got their screens repaired, or whatever it may be. Maybe the grass isn't cut all the time. But, man, when it came down to it, and that's what we're going to see this morning. Here's another one. The state of North Carolina has said hundreds, now this is the state of North Carolina putting it out, hundreds of water rescues were performed by first responders, but the official count may never be known due to neighbors helping neighbors in the hours and days following the storm. But I want you to see this picture there. You see that picture? That's a little caterpillar skid steer. It's got a little bucket, or it looks like a little bucket or something on the front. And he's come in and cleaned that road out. And we've seen that time after time after time. And just like it says here, the state of North Carolina said, they don't know how many. And you know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter how many. Because when we see, and we've seen it, as time goes on, you see the response that's come out, is that it was, and it is still, neighbors helping neighbors. Now, I know there's been some places that the authorities have kind of done all they can to shut down some areas and to block some of this. But see, that law is on the heart. And that law that's on the heart is you can't get away from that. You can shield it, and you can block it, and you can confuse it, and you can mix all kind of stuff into it. But that law on the heart to love God and love your neighbors yourself for the covenant people. I think Jason's got, he mentioned he's got Pastor's timeless message and overview of the Abrahamic covenant. And we've got a message by Brother Zach. He's talking kind of about the same thing, about the covenant. And you hear that from this ministry. Why? Oh, covenant, because it's important. Because it matters. Because it causes the people of the covenant to do things the people of the, not the people that aren't of the covenant, they don't do. But it's got responsibility on the people of the covenant. Responsibilities that aren't on those that aren't of the covenant. And things happen. Trials and tribulation. Things that we read about in here happen to the people of the covenant that don't happen to those that aren't of the covenant. It is that simple. And when you can see it, it's like the light switch is flipped on, and you can see that. And we're seeing it now in this obedience to the law that the Judeo-Christian Baal bastard preachers, dirty birds in the pulpit, tell you that law has been done away with, brother. It's all grace and mercy today. But see, the covenant is still there no matter what they say. And the covenant people are still there. It really is that simple. Got a couple more pictures for you here. This was another neighbor's helping. And this was off, Six News in Del Rio, helping neighbors after Helene. And Jason, that reminded me of you with your big old truck and the big dump trailer backed in there helping people out, you know, saying, hey, let's load this up and clean it up and that type thing. And because it's what's happening. You know, Jason, we were talking again a little bit right before the broadcast, and, you know, it's just a shame that you have Army medevac helicopters that are stationed. Oh, they're not overseas right now. No, they're stationed in Fort Rucker, Alabama, and they're at Hunter Army Airfield in Savannah, Georgia, and all over Georgia, all in Atlanta and North Florida and in the Carolinas and on the coast and all types of infrastructure, people that have the training that are ready to go at a moment's notice. Coast Guard stations all up and down in Georgia. They're in Savannah. They're at Tybee Island and in North Carolina on the Outer Banks. I mean, all up and down, ready to go, help. They just need the call. They just need the authorization. You know, you might if that helicopter belongs to the government, you can't just jump into it and go take off. No, you got to have whether it's orders or authorization or something. And see, that was never given. Not for what? 8 days? 7 days? I don't fault the helicopter crews that weren't allowed to go. I fault those that are in the authority positions that didn't care. That don't have that law written on their heart. See, that's the leadership we have in this nation today. They don't care. Heck, those people might vote red. We got more important things to do over here. We're talking with the Fed about the interest rates, and we're dealing with Netanyahu, and we got to talk to Putin and old Zelensky. We got to fly him around and get him to visit places. And see, that's where their mind is. The people. Now, we've known this. Many of the remnant have known this and seen it throughout our lifetime. But sometimes it takes an event like this historic, and I've seen in several, thought it was quite interesting, several news reports how they've used the term biblical as an adjective in trying to describe this. Biblical flooding, biblical rain pour, biblical destruction, biblical this and that throughout, not just, you know, from, Mary over here at Channel 9, but in several different media stories. See, because they can't get away from it. They can't get away from it. I saw, I think, Jason, maybe you mentioned it Saturday morning, but I'd seen a report last week. They were even using pack mules to take supplies and water and medical supplies and stuff up these trails that, and I think you did mention it Saturday, Jason, up these trails that hadn't been used in years because, well, they got the road in now, and they, you know, here and there, they got three roads, different roads. But when they're washed out, you know, there's some places out west they still use pack mules to support fire suppression efforts when they have that in some of the very remote areas. And so I just thought it was interesting that even now you think the government's been able to set up within 7 or 8 or 10 days for pack mules to be able to load it up and go into people that in need? Oh, no. No, that's John down there. That's Bill over here that runs it that know. Hey, they know that little community up there is blocked off. They know there's only one way in, and they know the women that are expecting. They know the older people that are there. They know the children that are relying on insulin or oxygen or whatever it may be. So they put it together and go. And so we saw that. Here's another couple pictures. I did want to share some of these pictures with you. Here was another headline. This was from Where was this next one, Jason? It was, there it is, Neighbors Helping Neighbors in Need, daytime something, Washington County, Tennessee. And we've seen pictures of places like this that have opened up, community centers and places. You see, here's another outside, just pallets of water. And you see those tractor trailers in the back. And let me tell you something. Let's leave that. Can we hit that next one there? That one. Those tractor trailers in the back are not from FEMA, okay? I'd bet my boots. I didn't have the story on this, but I'd bet my boots and throw in my spurs that I don't really wear a lot, that they're just from the local grocery store, Publix or something like that, because that's what they do. They know there's a problem. They load them up. They drive them out and say, here you go. Here's at least water. There's places that don't even have water. Let's come back to that one in just a sec. We'll come right back to that. There's places still, people, here at the beginning of October don't have running water, don't have clean water, are relying all over North Carolina, relying on their neighbors helping. Now, you know, eventually you would hope the government would come in and help out. We've all heard, too, and I'll kind of wrap up this part of it right here, but we've all heard, too, of multiple private helicopter pilots. You might think, who can afford a helicopter? I saw one was like an ex-NASCAR guy, an ex-NASCAR driver that lives in the area that I guess he made a lot of money in NASCAR, enough to have a helicopter. And there were several others that fired it up and flew in and understood on day one when the rain was still coming the impact and the need to go help. And so they did. And so with drops and supplies and rescues and all types of stuff. And so I just my thought on that, I'll wrap up. I got a few more things to cover here. Was, you know, that law that was on their heart, they couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. And that was a good thing. We'll hit that next picture now, Jason. Thank you. That this North Carolina town containing, they said, the purest quartz mines, which is actually disrupting the semiconductor industry. Spruce Pine is the name of this little town. You saw the picture of one of the big mines there. The devastation in a small North Carolina town. Down from Hurricane Helene may cause unexpected issues to the semiconductor production industry, as nearly all of the world's supply of a necessary mineral comes from that area. The purest form of quartz is mined in Spruce Pine, population of just, 2,600, and it's been wiped out. And I know there's lots of talk of different things that are going on, but it's not just the people, see? It's not just the people. Here's another story I thought was interesting. This North Carolina factory, Baxter, that makes vital IV fluids, has closed due to hurricane flooding. Had a basically closed down. Significant impact, they talk about it. Yeah, their building was flooded out. Factory in Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N, Marion, North Carolina, that makes IV fluids, is closed after hit by flooding. Baker International is about 35 miles outside of Asheville, shut down, now covered in mud. Says the facility is one of the largest suppliers of IV fluids in the country, FDA says. Now, Baxter says it'll spare no expense to get the factory back online, but the company doesn't have a timeline for when operations will be back up and running. So, you know, many people, I talk to people and they're like, really? Did what happened out there? Some people just haven't even noticed. But, you know, there's some people that are dependent on IV fluids. And there's some people, you know, our lifestyle, the semiconductor industries, whether you like it or not, if you have a cell phone or if you drive a vehicle or if you use a computer or if you do anything online. See, those semiconductor chips are kind of part of all that right now. And right now, where the raw material comes from is shut down. How about that? But we do have people helping people, at least some. one more scripture here in Micah. I thought I'd share this. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's not complicated. It's like what we started at with Jesus saying it, you know, the second's like the first. Love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. It's not complicated. It's not. But some people don't. I want to share this headline. Kind of shows where their priorities are. Mayorkas, the Department of Homeland Security chief, says FEMA does not have enough money to make it through hurricane season as the government has spent wildly on migrants. Department of Homeland Security chief Alejandro Mayorkas, that sounds like a good Irish-American name, huh, is being blasted for saying that FEMA's running out of money to help Americans in need, even as the government has spent billions, and we know that, we've seen that the last 3 years, billions to fly migrants into and around the country and on feeding them, housing them, and clothing them, all at taxpayer expense. And as the Southeast reels from the disastrous effects of Hurricane Helene, many are slamming the absenteeism of the FEMA agency as millions struggle to recover from the devastation. I know as of Thursday evening, there were still over 1 million people without power. Couple more quick things. There's lots going on. There is a lot. It's almost like, what do you focus on? Most of it breaks your heart. You see the devastation these people have gone through. You know, the Bible says that by our words we'll be justified, and by our words we'll be condemned. Supposedly our words, our tongue, our mouth speaks from the heart, right? So, I want to share a quote with you. I listed this one, speaking from the heart, with a question mark. I think it is, but I didn't want to make it as a statement. It's just my thought. Saw Friday evening President Trump stop by North Carolina and did just basically an impromptu question and answer period. It wasn't really a press release or... He stood there and just took questions. Just standing there at the microphone, let you know how he feel, how he feels about things. And I saw him shaking his head when people are talking about the mess that it's in. And he said, you know, I got to get back in there. It's like, I got to fix this. They asked Trump if he's worried about losing voters due to Hurricane Helene. His answer was beautiful. He said, I'm not thinking about voters right now. I'm thinking about lives. And to be honest, it's much bigger than anything else. So, just sharing it with you. You decide. Man's not perfect, but I think his heart's in the right place. That's just my thoughts on it. And homeschooling. I wanted to hit this too, because they kind of talked about this because of COVID. Homeschooling rates continue to surge. Not just increase, but surge across the country. Delaware saw a 29% increase alone in homeschooling. Delaware, way up in the Northeast. Delaware. One of the quotes was, the teachers' unions showed their true colors and pushed more families to embrace homeschooling long term. Families saw the leftist indoctrination happening in public schools through remote learning, and many of them became more confident and their ability to homeschool all over the nation. And so, see, you know, we've talked about that before. The worse the evil gets, the worse the NEA gets and the teachers' union and the more transgender homosexuality they try to push into public schools, some people, 29% in Delaware, are waking up saying, no, thank you. I don't want any part of that. And are turning away from that evil. And that's a good thing. Because when you turn away from evil, you're at least headed in the right direction. You've heard us say that. That I think that's important for us. It's a beginning. It's a beginning. I saw this from Isaiah. I wanted to share this. Isaiah 54:13. It says, "All your children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace." All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Well, looking at the clock, I see we're just all but out of time. I want to show you one more thing, Jason. We'll come back to the SFAWB and let's finish with that. But another storm, Milton, another hurricane in the Gulf, tropical storm Milton formed in the Gulf. It looks like it's going to strengthen right into a hurricane. And hit that next one, Jason. I think I got a thing of it of what they're saying. And it's right down there off Mexico. And all the formulas, it looks like it's just going to cut straight across kind of north-central Florida from the west coast to the east. So here comes another one. And there's two more forming out in the – and so, see, you know, the storms of life are that way. I remember Pastor talking about it and teaching on them. The storms of life come. We have to have that solid rock foundation. We do. A couple verses here. Psalms 107:29 says, "He makes the storm a calm, so the waves thereof are still." And I'll wrap up with this one from James 1:22. James 1:22 tells us, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do what it says. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks for joining us here at the LaPorte Church of Christ. Stay tuned. Again, a great message by Pastor coming up, timeless message on the Abrahamic Covenant, and a good message by Zach coming up right after that as well, and we'll be back for communion. Thanks for joining us, and God bless.
What a fellowship, what a joyfulness, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a peace there is, what a blessedness, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from keep near him and perfect, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning